or alters, of course, the life, the soul, the spirit, the mind, the flesh of a man. So, Father, I ask you today, these would not be my words, but yours, Holy Spirit, to forever alter the life, the course, the mind, the heart, the soul, the spirit of every man, woman, and child here, in Jesus' name. Amen. So recently, as many of you know, because I've talked about it, being in a holy war, what a holy war is, and the holy war that I am in. And so recently, I was just like, oh God, where do you want me to read? He said, go back to the beginning. All right. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis with me this morning. And let's start back in the beginning. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Amen. Let there be light. I want you to think for a minute what that must have looked like. We're so used to seeing this earth. We're so used to seeing the earth that we see when we open our front door, when we drive to work, when we get up on a plane and fly from one state to another state. Or maybe even sometimes the earth as we see it from space. But think about this: in the beginning, when things were formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and then all of a sudden, in this place of darkness, in this place of formlessness, in this place of emptiness, the Spirit of God said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. In this time, have you ever been in that place? Are you in that place today? Do you know somebody who is in that place? That situation where things are dark. That situation where things seem empty. That situation where maybe things seem formless. They used to have form, and they used to have shape, and they used to have exactness. And everything used to be clear, and you were certain, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm certain this is what I'm going to be doing 10 years from now. And everything seems so crystally clear, and so hard, fast, and formed, and so bright. And then all of a sudden, things began to change. And you found yourself in a place, or maybe you know somebody who's in a place, where things are dark, empty, formless. And the Lord said, let there be light. He didn't think, let there be light. He didn't pray, let there be light. He said, let there be light. Now turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5. Hold in Genesis, because we're going to go back, so stick your finger there. Go all the way forward to the New Testament. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You need to underline this and put your name there. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Who is the light of the world? You are the light of the world. In a dark and formless and empty place, if it's your place or somebody else's place, God says, let there be light. Joe, be light. Nathan, be light. Be the light of the world. Tabitha, be the light of the world. It doesn't matter if it's a darkness you're in or if it's a darkness somebody else is in. God said, let there be light in you. Jordan, are the light of the world. You, Chad, are the light of the world. Here's what light means. I want you to think about this definition in regards to you, in regards to what it says in Matthew, that you, Liz, are the light of the world. Light is something that makes things visible or affords illumination. luminous energy or radiant energy. The sensation produced by stimulation of the organs of sight, an illuminating agent or source as the sun, a lamp, or a beacon. The radiance or illumination from a particular source. You are the light of the world. In the dark place, are you being the light? Are you being light in darkness? Are you the light in the world that you're supposed to be? In that place of darkness, in that formless place, in that situation that may be formless and dark in your life, in that situation that may be formless and dark or empty in the person who's sitting next to you this morning, or the person down the street, or the person across the cubicle. When the Lord steps in to dark places and he says, let there be light, this is what he's saying to you. Are you? Are you being light in that place? Are you being a source that affords illumination in that situation? You know somebody who's in a dark, formless, empty place right now? Are you being a source that affords illumination in that situation? Or are you standing around going, I can't believe how dark it is in your world. I don't know how, you know what? If I was you, I'd just kill myself. It's so dark in this world. Is that what you're doing? Or are you being the light? Amen. Are you being the illumination? A source of luminous energy. I want you to think about, are you being a source of luminous? Here's what luminous energy is: radiant, shining, bright, enlightened, something that brings enlightenment. Maybe if the only thing you can say to somebody whose world is dark and formless is empty is, I just want to give you a hug and tell you, you know what? I don't know how, but it's going to be okay because I know God and he is in control. And this seems crazy and out of control, but you know what? I know God and he is in control. And I know what his word says and it's going to be all right. And you know what? I'm going to walk with you in this dark place. And I'm going to be a piece of energy and I'm going to be a piece of light and illumination to you. A source of radiant energy, emitting rays of light, bright with hope and joy. Sometimes one of the hardest things to do in dark, formless, empty places is to be a source of energy that still has joy and hope. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do. Usually because we put our hope in formed things. We put our hope in hard, fast things. We put our hope in light things, that which we can see. It's hard for us sometimes in dark places to put our hope in God and to put our joy in God and to help other people do that. Or maybe somebody's in this place and they can't do it. And so I'm just going to stand here right now and I'm just going to be a beam of hope. You don't have any hope? It's all right. I'll be hope for you. You don't have faith? You know what? I have enough faith for both of us. You don't believe anymore? It's all right. I'll believe. I'll believe for the both of us. I've said this to people for years. I've got enough faith for both of us. Just hang on to me and we'll just get through this, you know? I don't know how, but we will because I believe God. And that's all I got. But that's enough. Another definition of a source of radiant energy, which I thought was quite fascinating. The point in the heavens from which a shower of meteors appears to radiate. Now, what does Scripture say that we are to be? We're supposed to shine like stars in the world, aren't we? In a crooked and perverse and dark world, we're supposed to be shining like stars, coming forth from heavenly places with a hope, with a word, with a truth, with love, with joy. He saw the light, it said, and it was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. We aren't to be darkness in the midst of darkness. That is never what we were to be. We're to be the point of separation. We're to be the one that brings the light into the darkness. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it's where it tells us that darkness is not supposed to be a part of darkness. We are to be the point of separation. We're not supposed to be unified with darkness. We're supposed to be the light that comes into that situation of darkness. So then if you go back in Genesis, he does another thing back there in 6 through 8. And he says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. I'm reading from the New King James now. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. And so the evening and the morning were the second day. He divided the waters from the waters. One of the things you see God doing a lot in creation is separation. Divided the waters from the waters. One of the things about water is that water is an essential thing for life, isn't it? You're not going to live very long without water. And in this world, there are two types of water that's available to people. And one is the false waters of this world, which will always cause them to be thirsty for more. And the other is the living waters of God, which if they drink from, they will not only be satisfied, but they will truly live. And every one of us, probably in this room, I don't know about some of the younger ones, but probably us older ones, have all drank from both waters before. We've tried to drink from the waters of this world to quench our thirst. We were thirsty, we were dry, we were in an empty, formless, dark place, and we just needed a drink of water. And we went to the world, and we kept having to go more and more to the world because it never satisfied. We're supposed to be living waters, which we offer to the world. What does it say in John 7:37-38? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water shall flow forth from him. In this type of world, in this dark world, in the place of people's darkness, what type of water are you offering them? Are you offering them the false waters of the world? Or are you offering them the living waters of God? We're not supposed to just know who the living water is. We're supposed to allow that living water to flow on the inside of us, and we're supposed to be giving that to the world around us when they're in their dark, and they're in their empty, and they're in their formless, and they're in their dry, parched places. Turn to the book of John. I love this story. Familiar to many of you, but in case you have not read it, John 4. Verses 6-14. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can we get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herd?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." Amen. So in the dark, in the formless, in the empty places, not only do you need to be the light of the world, but you need to be offering people living waters to drink. Because in dark, formless places, empty places, sometimes it's hard for them to remember where the water is. It's hard for them to see where the water is. You may need to be the one that comes and be that illuminating light. It says, "Let me give you a drink of what's really going to satisfy you today. Let me offer you true waters, not false waters." And then we see, if you go on, that at another point he puts lights in the sky to govern the day and the night. Remember when he did this down in 14 through 17? "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be signs and seasons for days and years. And let them be lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God bless you. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. You see him create two lights here. One he calls a greater light, and one he calls the lesser light. The greater light governs the day, and the lesser light, he says, is going to govern the night. This is something we see even in the world today. We see two lights at play. We see the greater light, which is the light of the world, which is Jesus. And then we see the lesser light, which is Satan, who comes as a false light, as an imitator of light. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. When people find themselves in dark and in empty and in formless places, the lesser light of the night will always come to parade himself as an option of light. I'm going to say that again. When you or people find themselves in very empty and very dark, in very formless places, the lesser light of the night will always come to parade himself as an option of light. God made a very strong distinction between the greater light of the day and the lesser light of the night. Are you being the distinction between the true light of the world and the false light that blinds people and leads them astray? The true light of the world will always light the way. And it will always say, this is the way. This is the truth. This is the light unto your feet. This is the lamp unto your path. You don't know how to read this? Let me show you. This is the light. This is the greater light. Then there's the false light that comes and blinds and just leads people astray. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel and of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When people are in dark places, it's important that you be the greater light. Don't be the lesser blinding light that leads them astray. Be the greater light, the true light that shows them the right way. He goes on. All right, wait a minute. I'm not going to read all of this, but we also see that he has the land to produce vegetation and seed-bearing plants. I'm in 11 now. Trees on the land which bear fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. He saw that it was good. You see him go on down in 20, and he begins to create animals and living creatures and flying birds. And he tells them all the same thing, and then later he goes on, he creates a livestock, he creates man, and he tells them all the same thing. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. In dark places, in formless places, can you be fruit full of seed that eventually is going to multiply? That's something. It's easy to be fruit when the weather's nice and the sun is shining down upon you. You don't have any bugs in your life, and you can just be the greatest apple there ever was. Because everybody's running around taking care of you, and you're feeling all good, and you're sitting in the sunshine. But when things are dark, and when things are formless, and when things are empty, and maybe the sun isn't shining every day in your world, or that person you know right now who's in that very dark and formless place, can you still be fruit with seed in it? And can you still plant seeds, even in dark places? Do you guys remember the teaching we did on the bean sprout? Bean sprouts grow in very dark places. They multiply rapidly in very dark places. Why? Because God created them, and God just does really cool stuff to teach us a lesson. That some things can grow in dark places. The Bible says that some plant, another one comes along and waters, but it's God that brings the increase. We've got to be able, whether we're in a dark place or not, whether we know somebody in a dark place or not, we've got to continue planting seeds. What was the word that came forth this morning? She said, do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not grow weary and faint. In other words, keep planting seeds even in dark places. Keep planting seeds even in unformed ground. Do you know sometimes the soil doesn't have to be perfect for something to grow? Because sometimes it's about you getting the soil right for it to grow, and sometimes it's about God's going to have to get the soil right, and you just need to keep planting seeds, and God's going to make it grow. Your point is to do by faith what God is telling you to do, to be fruitful in dark places, in your dark place or in somebody else's dark place, and then trust God that eventually those seeds are going to multiply. Eventually those seeds are going to grow. And eventually you're going to begin to see form and shape and light in a place where there once was nothing but darkness, emptiness, formlessness. So I want to ask you today, in a dark and in a formless state, what are you being? Are you being light? Or are you just talking about the darkness? Are you speaking light? Or are you just speaking of the darkness and how bad it is? Are you being living water? Or are you being false water? Are you leading people to the living water? Are you teaching them how to drink from places that they'll just have to go to again and again and again, and then they'll have to find another well and another well and another well, and eventually they'll die of thirst because you didn't just take them to the right waters or be the right waters. Let it flow out of you. Are you blinding them with the lesser light? Or are you showing them the way to the true light of the world? Are you being fruitful? Are you dying in the darkness? At some point or another, everybody's world goes dark. Nobody's exempt. Question is, when it's your world, what will you do? When it's your best friend's world, what will you do? When it's your kid's world, what will you do and what will you be in the dark and the empty, in the formless places?